And from the beginning, Christianity had to accomplish five fundamental transitions. Not after a long period of stability and organization, but from the get-go. It had to accomplish a geographical transition from Palestine to the diaspora, to all of the lands outside Palestine. A sociological transition. Jesus was a rural itinerant preacher. The first Christians we meet are urban, living in the big cities in the Roman Empire. It was a linguistic transition from Aramaic to Greek, a cultural transition from a predominantly Jewish culture to a predominantly Greco-Roman culture. And finally, demographic, from being a movement among Jews to increasingly a movement among non-Jews or Gentiles. So this was a powerful movement. But the point I want to make is that its very power and rapidity of its spread, its lack of controls, and the transitions that it had to accomplish meant that Christianity was diverse from the beginning. In other words, everywhere Christianity appeared, it was something slightly different. What is remarkable about Christianity is not that it should be diverse, but that it should have any unity at all. Now, by far the most important of these transitions in that first generation, in that first expansion, is the inclusion of Gentiles into the community without the obligation of being circumcised or observing Jewish law. Whether or not there was an apostolic council in the year 49 in which church leaders gathered to debate this issue, as Luke portrays in the Acts of the Apostles, doesn't matter. It is quite clear that already in the first generation, Gentiles were being allowed into the community not by becoming Jews first, but simply on their own terms. This meant that Christianity saw itself almost from the beginning in the light of the resurrection as potentially a worldwide religion. Now, our earliest Christian letters testify to the liveliness of the religious spirit in these communities and to their problems as well. Paul's letters, our earliest Christian writings, for example, 1 Corinthians, reveal communities that meet in ordinary households. They're drawn from diverse social classes, and they manifest a variety of spiritual gifts, powerful deeds that they can perform because they have had this experience of the Holy Spirit, healings, speaking in tongues, prophecy. And they share certain common rituals, a baptism and the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about both of those in a subsequent lecture. But his letters also show that from the beginning, Christians experienced severe disagreements concerning the proper way to translate this powerful experience of the resurrection into consistent patterns of behavior. Despite Luke's idyllic portrayal of the early church in Jerusalem in the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 2 and 4, of all believers sharing everything in common, Paul's letters show us more of a historical reality. There was no golden moment of perfect unity in early Christianity. There was conflict from the beginning. Now, the New Testament, the Christian writings, are 27 compositions in Greek that were written before the end of the first century in response to the needs of these early communities. Now, because they were written in response to the needs and circumstances of these communities, the compositions of the New Testament are as diverse as the experiences and situations of the early Christians. For the first Christians, Scripture obviously did not mean the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. Scripture meant the writings that they shared with their fellow Jews, the Jewish Scripture, which they now read in the light of a crucified and raised Messiah. They referred to it as graphe, or writing, and it was read out loud in the Christian assembly as it was in Jewish gatherings. The distinctive Christian writings consist of 13 letters attributed to the Apostle Paul, 2 to Peter, another apostle, 3 to John, another apostle, 1 each to James and Jude, who may have been apostles, and an anonymous treatise called To the Hebrews, as well as a historical narrative concerning the first generation called the Acts of the Apostles, and a visionary composition called the book of Revelation. Now, these writings concentrate on the life and practice of the church, and Acts gives an account of the earliest expansion of the church, and reveal the complexity and the energy of this early Christian movement. In them, Jesus appears mainly as a present and powerful Lord, although allusions are made to his human example as an important norm for Christians. For example, Paul tells the Corinthians to live by the mind of the Messiah, and he tells the Galatians that they should live by the law of Christ. Clearly, the human Jesus is important, even for those who celebrate him now as the powerful Lord.